Most people don't realize it's actually been around since the early 90s. So Pace has been administering Vanpool for decades.
Wow.
Pace is probably best known for the fixed route service that we have on the street, the big blue buses that our passengers see every day. We do offer a lot of other convenient and innovative alternatives like Vanpool.
And then you encourage everybody in the Pace Vanpool to have on 101.9 The Mix, I assume.
It's actually the only station that the vans come
with. Makes perfect sense. You can't get anything but 101.9.
Click this ad to listen to the full Pace Vanpool podcast.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Yesterday, as you know, RTE revealed its plan for staff, including job cuts and the farming out of two of its flagship productions, The Late Late Show and Fair City, to the independent sector. So how will that work, and how do independent producers get commissions from broadcasters in the first place? Philip Kampf has many years' experience of this as head of Vision Independent Productions. Afternoon, Philip. Philip's not there.
Hello, Sean.
Ah,
hello,
there you are. Yeah, sorry about that. We had to put money in the meter.
I had to drive up the road just to get a signal. So.
Yeah.
I'm in a state I've never been in before, and they're looking at me. So,
all right,
hello,
okay.
Everybody.
Hello, everybody. If there's a man in your estate, don't worry. He doesn't mean
That's
any
right.
harm. There's a kind of a narrative going on here that farming things out to the independent sector, will cure all RTE's ills, and that the independent sector can absorb this work. Is that necessarily the case, given that working in the independent sector is very insecure?
Well, that's it. I wouldn't want to be speaking on behalf of the whole independent sector, but I would say, having been in it since 2003, it's tough. And at times, I would say I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's particularly in Ireland, it's very tough. And I think if there's ever an indication of how tough it is, I don't know of anybody who's ever left RTE and joined the independent sector. Whereas if you look in the UK, up till recently, there were always people like you'd have a Channel 4 commissioning editor moving out and setting up a company in the independent sector. That never happens here. In fact, what happens here is you shut down your independent sector and your independent company, and you run into RTE.
Yeah.
Right. One of the current controllers did that. Another one did that before that. So essentially, you hang on till you get the call and they say, "Would you like to come and work in RTE?" And then you go, "Oh yeah, I'll go in there now." You know. So I think it's a very, very tough business in a very small market, and also it's sort of. But I think more crucially, and sometimes, you know, people who speak on behalf of the independent sector quite rarely speak on behalf of the companies. But the people I feel really sorry for are the people who work in the independent sector, because they're all on short-term contracts. You know, when the show ends, their job ends, and then they've got to go off and find another job as quickly as you can. And I've often looked at that and said, like, it will be almost impossible to be working 50 weeks a year as an independent producer. Like, if I was a freelance producer, that would be tough going, because you might get 28 weeks on a show, you know, then your timing would want to be miraculous for another show that's just right for you to be starting 3 or 4 weeks later, and then you get on that for another 20 weeks. Like, so most people I know, what happens is they stay in the sector for a while, they find it so tough, and then they leave. And we're finding an awful lot of really experienced people leaving the sector, and I think it's a great shame. But it's because the way things are stacked up. And sometimes on chats like this, you know, people blame RTE or they blame Virgin Media or whatever. But I actually think we're all sort of trapped in a system that doesn't work. And when everyone's under the caution and feeling crap, then we all start having a go at each other. And I think what we really need is to stand back and say, you know, think. We need to think more radically than just how do we keep 1,400 or 1,800 people employed in Dublin 4, you know?
Yes, though, because, you know, while there has been a lot of attention on the amount of money RTE executives might be spending on extraneous things, anyone who's worked in the independent sector, I think, is it fair to say, never been splashing the cash on independent production?
They've never splashed the cash. And in fact, what's really, it is annoying. Like, I know every year, like, we produced Operation Transformation for years, and every year we come along, even the last couple of years, and they would say, by the way, the budget's exactly the same. And I would say, well, you know, life is like everything else is now more expensive, you know? And they would say, well, we'll only send in a budget that's exactly the same. And I suppose what was gut wrenching over the past year was to find out that the people who are on that call telling you that we're getting a 10% pay rate rise, you know, and you just go, that's not fair. You know, it just isn't fair. And I think, but I think again, I think the other thing is because, and in fairness, RT have said it in the past, because there's no movement, because nobody ever leaves RT and joins the independent sector. Essentially, I've been pitching to the same people since 2003. Right. So it that, you know, that's not healthy either, you know.
Yeah.
If I go back in to somebody to pitch Sean Moncrief and they said Sean Moncrief 6 months ago, they didn't like, you know, it would be good if I knew that person's job, he's going to move on in the next 6 months and I'll pitch Sean Moncrief again. But unfortunately, as you know as well as I do, they haven't moved on.
No.
Good grief, Moncrief. How do I bring it back?
Yeah, that information's a bit too close to home now.
So,
Philip, is it like, would it be the case in the independent sector, like if RT plans to start farming more and more shows out into the independent sector, that there's a genuine staffing problem there?
Well, there is. Yeah, there is. I think there is. And like, I mean, I'm very lucky. When I started off, I started off in RT Radio I was trained as a radio producer, and essentially you were sent off for 4 months to another annex to train as a radio producer. And it was brilliant, you know? Mm. And then after a few years, I applied and got the TV producer director job. And in that case, you were sent for 6 months to a place up the top of Slorgan Road. And again, you did nothing else but train out to be a TV producer director. And that was brilliant, but all of that's gone. So we don't have proper training in the sector, you know? And also I think the problem is we're all individual companies. So you could come in and work with VIP on a show, we're currently doing a show called Clinic for Well People at the moment. And some of the people on that show now finish in 2 weeks' time, and then they go off and try and get a gig in another production company. And because that's all, we can only afford to keep them as long as that budget lasts for that show. But there's no culture, there's no training. And I think that's become a real problem. Like, you know, you worked in RT back in the golden era, yes, right? But like, there were mad people, sad people, and extremely bright people in there. And like, the canteen was a hive of activity, you know, and you were able to look across the canteen and you go, there's the guy that you know, did that amazing drama, The Ballroom of Romance, you know, and there's the guy that did that terrible quiz show on Thursday night. But you know, it was that dynamic and mix that brought you up. And likewise, when I was at the BBC, that was the same thing. And that doesn't exist now. So I feel very sorry for the new generation of people that are coming out of communications courses and they're going into the independent sector, because it isn't, it doesn't stack up as a sector, you know?
Yeah. And so for farming out Fair City in the late, are there, and apparently they're going to start to close down their own studios, so it won't be, say the late won't come from there. Will it be easy enough to find an alternative to Studio 6 someplace around town?
Yeah, I think it will. I think Dancing with Stars is done out in Fonthill, so that's proved that it's a, like, essentially what you have now is, like, you know, if you go into RT, it's a regular, probably now you could say, old-fashioned TV studio that has its own cameras, its own gallery, and everything. It's, you know, nowadays what you do is, you know, you go into a barn, essentially, a soundproof barn, but you don't have any of the cameras. And then on the days that you want the cameras, a truck pulls up with all the cameras, you shoot the show, and then the truck drives off and does something else the next day. And it is a more efficient way, because essentially, like, there could be summers in RTE where, you know, studios are literally lying idle for months, you know, but the thing is that, you know, the cameras are standing there, there's no one beside them. So going that sort of OB route is a sort of clever move in terms of saving money.
Yeah.
The only thing I regret is that you can get so clever that you no longer have a community of people, or you no longer, it's very hard to create a culture. And you do need that if you're making public service content, because we need to be we all need to be questioning what we're making. You know, we need to be critical of what we're making. We need to sort of say, well done or not. And we don't have that. And I think the more you break that up, the worse it gets. And I thought the saddest day actually in the last few years was the genius decision to shut down RT Young People's, because you would probably know, but you used to walk into Stage 7 in RTE and the first department you met was young people's, you know, and that kept the place alive, you know. Mm. And as soon as you rid yourself of young people in the building, you sort of have written your own end, you know.
Yeah. Did they, now when they put out The Late Late for tender,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how much of a budget they assign to it, given that at the moment, would it be fair to say they have no idea how much it cost them?
Well, yeah, I remember now at least 10 years ago, actually it was probably around the time we were doing the Big 4-0. I think you hosted it, actually.
Yeah.
And lots of people will remember it.
Well, at least but six or seven. Time, Yeah.
But anyway, at that time, I remember a senior RT executive saying, the great thing about the independent sector is we know exactly how much a show costs, where it's really very difficult for them to track the cost of shows in RTE. And I think that's so, like, down to the paper cups that your tea is, like, the budgets are so stringent and tight and correctly monitored for independent productions. But that's not the case for in-house production, simply because, you know, on an in-house production, you know, you could get an RT cameraman and he might be due, you know, he'll work and then he's due a day off and then he's due this and he's due that, you know, and those things aren't factored into the budget. So it is a lot more difficult for them. Whereas if they farm out The Late Late, probably for the first time ever, they'll know exactly how much The Late Late costs.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's somebody right now writing a press release in RT saying that's not true. So yes. I do apologize to them for having to write that press release.
Give them something to do. It's not as if there's a lot of news coming out of RTE at the moment.
That's true, yeah.
For Fair City, though, they'd have to have a permanent set, would they not? Would that be a bit more expensive?
They would, but you know, if you'd probably find, you know, I'm sure, you know, there'd be places out of town that will become that. You know, if you think most of the dramas are done outside, out of town, like you've Ashford, you know, you've Bray. So I think you won't be in Dublin 4, but it's probably an acre, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I suppose it is kind of doable. So
I know it's very doable. It's very doable.
Yeah.
It's very doable.
At the same time, though, Philip, would you say that there are, you know, independent producers right now going, fancy me chances of doing Fair City or The Late Late? There must be.
Yeah. I think there are, because they're trying to stay in business, you know. As an independent producer, the one thing you want is a returnable series. So one-off docs is tough going, because you make your doc, you make your margin of it, which is about 10% of the budget, and then you've got to survive on that until you get the next one away. So really what you're looking for is a returnable series. And I think for any independent survive, you need two or three of those, you know. And so I think if you come along and you've got a soap for two or three years, you know, you can build something on that, you know.
Yeah.
So absolutely, it's a big win. And likewise, if you win The Late Late, for a 5-year period, you can definitely build something on that, you know?
Yeah. Philip, thanks a million for talking to us.
No problem.
Take it handy. That was Philip Kampf there, the head of Vision Independent Productions.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.